You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are diving into another safety play theme, which is danger. So I know that's kind of counterintuitive and ironic that it's a safety theme that we're saying that it's danger, but this is when a child is actually addressing danger or potential danger. So it does still fall under the safety category. So we'll look into that a little bit. Before I dive in, I just want to spend a few minutes to say, as of today, this is Wednesday, November 22nd, so the day before Thanksgiving. And for those of you international listeners, you know, I look at where you are when you download my podcast. So I see all of the stats of my international listeners, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. So I realize that in your countries, you do not celebrate Thanksgiving. That is very much an American holiday. So if you are not familiar at all with Thanksgiving, that is tomorrow for us. It is always the third Thursday in November. And the fourth Thursday in November. And so I wanted to just spend a moment, because we take time as a country to spend a day dedicated to Thanksgiving and gratitude and gratefulness and the blessings and all of the things that we have to be grateful for as a country, as a people, as families, as friends, as individuals. It's just a moment that we pause and we dedicate a day to really expressing thankfulness and gratitude and gratefulness. And I wanted to share just really quickly a few things that I'm grateful for. I think that when we dedicate a day to do that, it means that it takes a little bit of pensive intention. And I've been thinking a lot about the blessings that I have in my life, and I feel like maybe I should just share those with you all, so bear with me. I am very much grateful for this podcast, and I'm not just saying that because you're listening to my podcast right now. I've mentioned this many times, but I am continually gobsmacked, flabbergasted, blown away, whatever adjective you want to use, about the way this has grown, the impact that it has, the reach that it has, the investment that you all put into learning and growing and caring about being play therapists, caring about the kids with whom you work, caring about this field. It really has renewed my love and my passion for what I do. I love being a child-centered play therapist, but I think that our field has gone a little bit wonky. And I won't get into that because this is a gratitude episode, but I feel like our field has gone off the rails a little bit. And this podcast and you all have renewed my faith and my passion for what we're doing and child-centered play therapy. So that is certainly at the top of my list. I am so grateful for the United States. I'm grateful that we live in an amazing country. I'm grateful for the freedoms that we have. I'm grateful for the lifestyle that we are able to live. And, you know, this really is a case of an American dream. You know, I did not grow up with money. My mom stayed home. We had one income. My dad owned a business, and at times that business was not very profitable. And I mean, I would consider us lower middle class. We struggled a lot financially as a kid, off and on. And, you know, I did not come from the silver spoon. I did not come from inherited wealth. I didn't come from a family that prioritized education or success. Not that it wasn't important, but I didn't have that modeled for me. You know, my dad didn't even go to college. My mom didn't get a college degree until I was in middle school. You know, I just didn't come from the background that makes it easy to succeed. But here I am, and this really is an American dream for me. And so I'm so grateful to live in the States. I'm grateful for the opportunities that we're given, and I'm grateful for this country. I'm grateful for my family. My husband and my son, we have so many amazing memories and so many amazing experiences that we've shared. And I'm grateful that we get to do baseball together and boating together and life together. And I'm grateful for my work. I'm really grateful for my center, for the children that we help, the families that we help, for my staff. I'm so grateful for the therapists and my office manager that have come alongside me, and they get the vision, and they know what we're trying to accomplish. And I'm grateful that I've had experiences that have led me to where I am. I'm able to speak, I've written a book, I'm able to do a podcast, and those are all things that I never envisioned myself doing, quite honestly. But I've just had the experiences that have allowed me to pursue those things. And I think more importantly than anything else, I'm very grateful for my faith. I'm grateful that I understand a biblical worldview, and I understand the reason that we exist on this earth. And I'm very grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. I'm grateful for my relationship that I have with God the Father. And it's just a really calm and peaceful existence to know what it means to be sanctified and redeemed. So those are the things that I'm grateful for. Thanks for giving me a moment to share those with you. I hope that you will spend a few minutes today or tomorrow or whenever you listen to this podcast to really take some time to think about your blessings and all the things for which you have to be grateful. I think it's easy sometimes to focus on what we don't have or what we wish we had or what we would like to be different. But especially during Thanksgiving, I think it's so important and powerful to really just acknowledge out loud all of the gifts and all of the blessings that we've been given. So happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for sharing Thanksgiving week with me. And I look forward to many, many more times that we get to kind of share fun things together. All right, so back to danger theme. So when we're looking at danger theme in the playroom under the safety play umbrella, typically what happens is a child will identify a potential danger. So there's some kind of dangerous scenario either coming, or there's the possibility of it, or it is ready to take place. So there's this danger that is identified and recognized, and then obviously the child is tasked with figuring out how to respond to that danger. So what usually will happen is the child is either going to play out someone who is dangerous, in other words, like someone specifically, so a dangerous person, right? So like a bad guy or a monster or the robber or, you know, whatever. There's usually a dangerous person, or there is almost like a fantastic type of character. So a witch, a wizard, some kind of fantasy driven, you know, like the fire breathing dragon or something like that. So there's a fantastical element to the danger, or a dangerous location. So this can be a dangerous house, a dangerous town, a dangerous army bunker. There's some danger related to the place. Or it can be dangerous animals. So often kids will take aggressive animals and they will bring danger in that way. Or you will see a situation where a character in the play is in danger. So there isn't necessarily this is the danger. It's just that they will say, you know, they're all alone, or they're lost, or they've been abandoned, or they've been forgotten about. So they will allude to this person being in a dangerous situation, but they're not necessarily talking about the danger itself. So let me recap that, because I know that was a lot. So it can be a dangerous person. It can be a fantastical figure that brings danger in. It can be a dangerous location or place. It can be a dangerous animal. Or the character can be in danger because of circumstances. All right, so that's typically how you will see danger play emerge. And then what can this mean to the child? So if the child has a pervasive sense that the world is dangerous and unsafe, now this can be in highly anxious kids, or they just think the world is scary as a general rule, or it can be that the child has gone through an experience that has led them to believe that the world is unsafe. So Those are usually two different root causes, but in either scenario, the child is trying to play out their belief that the world is dangerous or unsafe in some way. So that's one meaning to the child. The other option would be actually playing out something that they experienced in the past that was legitimately dangerous. So kids who have gone through dangerous situations and experiences, they will play them out. So for example, if a child lived through a tornado, a hurricane, a house fire, some type of catastrophic event of sorts, they will typically play that out in their play sessions because they have to desensitize themselves to the feelings of danger. And then another option, not as common, but you can still see it sometimes, is sometimes if the child consistently plays out danger, they're actually indicating a plea for help. And so they are consistently playing out this perpetual danger because they feel that they need someone to step in and help and rescue them from the situation. Now, I feel it necessary to comment on that just really quickly for clarification's sake. We don't need to rescue them or do anything about their plea. They will naturally solve the problem themselves. So don't feel burdened to address their plea for help. They will do that themselves, but that is typically not as common, but we will see that sometimes where the child just feels very helpless. And so their perpetual danger play is actually a plea for help. But the goal, obviously, is that they will solve their own problem and they will figure out a solution in their play. So that is danger theme. And often we will see danger theme either evolve into another theme or it will run parallel to a different theme. So danger theme will sometimes go with rescue play, which is actually what we're going to talk about next week. Sometimes it will go with good versus bad. Sometimes it will go with protection. So they typically can be coupled, and you will have two themes running concurrently as the child is playing, or one evolves into the next. So just know that that is one of those themes that morphs in that way in the playroom. So I'm very grateful to each every one of you. Thank you for being a part of the Play Therapy podcast family. Just reminder, I know I talked about it last week, but I want to make sure that you are aware of the CEU training that I'm offering. So I partnered with Corewell and we have 50 seats available for the live training. I know some of you have already signed up, so I'm so excited to have that training with you. You will get CEUs for this training. It's going to be a seminal child-centered course. And if you go to childcenteredtraining.com, it will forward you to the registration page. There is early bird pricing right now, so you'll actually save about $50 if you register in the next, I don't know, month or so. And that training will take place in January, so just be aware. It'll be a couple months from now, but if you sign up, you'll save money. Childcenteredtraining.com, and there will be many more CEU courses to follow. So I'm really looking forward to being able to give you all CEUs. That's something that so many of you have asked for. So Corewell reached out, and I think that's going to be an amazing partnership. So if you want to get signed up for that in January, childcenteredtraining.com. I look forward to spending some time with you again next week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com. Thank you.